Good morning, Giant 90.9 FM listeners. This is Inside Athletic Training. I am here with certified athletic trainer for the Indy Fuel, George Bullock Jr. How is your day going?
So far, so good. You know, home opener. We're knocking out all the stuff we have to do to get ready for the visitors. And that's a good day.
How many years have you worked in pro hockey, and how did you decide to be an athletic trainer?
This is my 25th year certified. My 24th season with a team. Pretty much all those years except one have been in professional ice hockey. The 1 year was at the collegiate level. You want to know how I decided to become an athletic trainer? I figured out that there was too much math involved in becoming an engineer. That's pretty much what it was. So,
what college did you attend to receive your athletic training degree?
I did my undergraduate work at Guilford College, which is in Greensboro, North Carolina. And then I did my master's work at Springfield College in Springfield, Mass. And that's where I did my internship with the Springfield Indians and the Springfield Falcons of the American Hockey League.
What is the importance of athletic training?
That's a good question. The importance of it, especially at the professional level, is you take care of all medical aspects for the players. Yes, there's going to be stuff, they get hurt in games, they get hurt in practice, but it's also the other side of the medical. You know, you're the liaison between team doctors, the coaching staff, maybe their agents, you know, the management of the team they work for, and then yourself. It's like it's a big 5-6-way triangle that everyone needs to be on the same page to make sure the guys are getting the best service, keeping themselves healthy and able to play and win.
What sports teams have you been with?
Oh, I've been with several hockey teams. Three roller hockey teams, professional, and two baseball teams. So I started my career in Louisville with the River Frogs in the East Coast Hockey League. Then I moved to Wichita, and I was with the Wichita Thunder of the Central Hockey League for 5 years. And then I was with the Greensboro Generals in the East Coast Hockey League. Then I went to Bossier Shreveport in the Central League. And then after that, I went to Bakersfield in the East Coast Hockey League, Bakersfield Condors. And then I took that one short hiatus into, or foray, if you will, into college hockey. And then here with the Fuel. Now, in my summers, in the early days, I was in Denver for roller hockey, in Orlando for roller hockey, and then I did baseball in Shreveport.
Describe the 14-day IR, which was originally the 21-day IR.
So, that is a demarcation, a designation for a player. If he's too injured to play and you need to replace him with another body, you need to put him on the 14-day. So what happens is, if he gets hurt in a game, you and your doctors get together and you let everyone decides that it's a better choice for him not to play through this injury. You put him on the shelf, and the next day, so they can't count day one as the day they got hurt or the game they got hurt. It's the next day. So then 14 days later, if they're better, they can come off. Sometimes if they're not, they will stay on. And then it's just day to day. But that's the other side of the equation is, if you're going to do it, that person's going to be out of the lineup for a minimum of 14 days.
What do you tell the players that just hang around the training room and not getting treatment done?
I mean, my training room is a little different, I guess, than some. I only have, 25 to 30 athletes, even at the max when we're in camp. I want them here because the training room is a place for them to feel safe, because you never know what else you might find out about a guy that you could help him with. It might be a mental stress. It's not just injuries that we fix here in the training room. It might be a medical one, like they didn't know they had this particular ailment or disease or something like that, or just to be safe. They want to, they can talk about if they're having a bad day or if they're having substance abuse issues or anything like that. That's what we try to help them with.
Referring to the Bakersfield Condors, during one of the national anthems, what happened?
Well, that was the, and everyone can go ahead and YouTube it. YouTube search Condor mascot goes crazy, and you can see. So what happened was, earlier in the day, see, everyone thinks that the condor that actually, when you see it go crazy, was our mascot, but he's not. We just happen to be the condors. He was there for, he's an Andean condor, and they were a rescue condor. And that's what this group does. And they were just bringing attention to the fact that they needed help to, you know, take care of these Andean and California condors. Granted, this is a huge bird. This is an 8-foot wingspan on these things, okay? So what he was supposed to do was, during the anthem, was supposed to leave the perch, fly one round around the bowl, and then come either land on the guy's arm or take off from his arm and land on the perch. Well, in the time that it took him to get on the guy's arm, he moved up and started digging his talons into the guy's arm, so the guy dropped the bird. And from there, the bird didn't want to be picked up anymore. So he kind of chased him around the ice. And then the fella that was handling the bird went and grabbed it. He snatched it to put it back on the perch. Well, as he was going back to the carpeted area where he was standing and starting from, he slipped and fell on the bird. And he cracked 3 ribs. The bird was fine, but he cracked 3 ribs. After that, he was useless. So the players were trying to help corral the bird toward the guy, and it didn't help. So it was coming towards the bench, and I just saw it happening. I was like, watch out, boys, he's gonna jump on the dasher. And sure enough, he jumped on the dasher, and then from there, I believe the bird looked up, you know, and saw the upper mezzanine, because it's a bird that likes to look over things. So it he wanted to go to the highest point in the building. Well, you know, birds can't see glass,
right?
Because they can't see in 3 dimensions. So he hit the glass right over my coach, fell on my coach's back, and then he ran into the locker room. And that was pretty much it. And then they grabbed him from there. But yeah, that's what happened. Like I said, you can see most of that on the video.
And they describe it as the birds walking into the locker room.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can see, like, everyone turns, and he walks down the bench after he jumps off my coach's back, and then goes down the tunnel into the room.
So. All right, that was certified athletic trainer George Bullock Jr.